What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you here in a second. However, Lamar Jackson himself said a couple of days ago, in playoff situations, why the numbers dip from brilliance in the regular season, two MVPs, could win another one, to pretty much average to below average performances, 2-4, 1-3 at home. And he said he gets antsy. Game gets too fast, speeds up for it. Well, Todd Monken, Ravens offensive coordinator, talked about that very subject yesterday.
I don't know. I haven't seen that. So it's very difficult for me to comment on that. I haven't seen that. You know, in the playoff games last year, I thought he started off fine. You know, I thought we started off fine in some ways. We're going to do everything we can for all of us to get comfortable. Whatever we can do from a player standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, to get us to start fast is the ultimate goal.
Bob, when you look at it in both Steeler games, because when you look at the first half, all right, the game they lost, Lamar started out 8 of 18 for 120 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. In the game that they won, he started out 8 of 15 for 89 yards with two touchdowns. So, you know, the touchdowns were there. But both games started out, Bob, he wasn't great accuracy in the first half. He picked it up in the second half. The biggest difference was, you know, in the first half rushing, Henry 8 for 52 in the one they lost. The one they won, Henry, 13 for 75. So, big difference there. So, the scary thing, Bob, if Lamar comes out and he's like 11 of 15 and Henry's carrying it 13 times in the first half, then it is...
Easily.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep stressing that. But, last year in the championship game against Kansas City... I mean, we talk about Lamar and everything that went wrong there. What did you think of the play calling in that game? They didn't have Derrick Henry, as we all know, and Mark Andrews was banged up, nowhere near what he is right now. But likely had been Studley. I mean, Zay fumbled inside the five, which was huge, as the Ravens were about to cut it to one. But I thought they got real conservative offensively there. And, you know, like Kansas City tries, but what resonates to me was John Harbaugh basically conceding that Steve Spagnuolo was this secret magical doctor of awesomeness that they couldn't seem to solve, which was kind of mind-boggling to me.
On top of that, Bob, I thought that Harbs panicked. Remember he went for it on fourth down?
Fourth and seven.
Yeah.
Like their first drive of the game. And they scored eventually.
I know, but it when I watched that, I said, Jesus, you know, I mean, what the hell are you doing? Why are you panicking now? I thought that was, and then when, you know, you're a player and you see, damn, do they think our defense is not, you got the number one defense, you know, you got to show some faith. Okay, we're going to play that kind of game? Yeah, we'll punt. We believe in the defense.
Yep.
But I thought he panicked, and then to start the second half. You know, when they ran it twice, got stopped, and then threw it every down. I just thought they panicked.
And even in the Houston game, they weren't that great in the first half. Lamar took over
in
the second half, but Lamar plays 60 minutes like he played in the second half against the Texans. Ravens are, they're going to New Orleans, and they're getting their own beads there. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. News from the Nest. Let's talk Ravens Steelers with Mark in Bel Air. Mark, thanks for holding. What's on your mind? Playoff Thursday.
Hey, guys. It's Mark from Bel Air. How you doing?
What's good, up, man?
So everything I'm about to tell you, I swear my hand to God, is 100% true. So I was the limo guy who went back with you guys with Nestor Aparicio and WNST.
Okay.
Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Bobster, all three came from WNST. I did several events with you guys where I was the transportation. So the first funny thing is,
well, let's talk about the game. Get to the game.
Okay. Here's my prediction. I like Ravens 41.
Damn.
Pittsburgh 17. Here's my problem. My problem is with Stevens. Are you telling me that we have nobody on this team that can play better than him? Why isn't it better to play the rookie than to play him?
He's playing on the other side. Mark. The rookie's starting on the other side because Humphrey Wiggins goes on the inside.
And, Mark, it sounds like you got like a bomb ticket in your limo, man. You might want to get out of that car as quickly as possible. But I hear him in the margin of victory and maybe the total point output for Baltimore. But Stevens has been, we've discussed, shaky at best. But they have, the Steelers anyway, the wherewithal offensively to exploit him?
They do with Pickens, and Austin did it. Do they? Yes. But Russell Wilson hadn't been playing that well. You know, his accuracy and stuff has been not been that great. So, you know, and I mean, Bob, in that first half of the game when the Steelers won, he was 12 of 20 for 76 yards. In the game that they lost, he was 12 of 16 for 110 and a touchdown. You know, and it was 17-10 at the half, though.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, thanks for holding. What's up?
Uncle Bob, Uncle Vinny.
What's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, I'm going to say, man, let me get this out the way. Get this out the way. The Ravens going to win. We just got to be prepared. We got to get the guys pumped up. I need to tell Monk and cussing at people like he did the last time before we played the Steelers. I need to get them guys fired up. My thing is this, though. Oh, yeah, Vinny, I think Zay Flowers reminds me of Ricky Saunders. Remember him?
Yeah, Ricky Sanders.
Ricky Sanders. He got a game like his, body type and all of that. What can they do to try to make up for the explosive plays with him being absent? You think, I heard you say they're going to rest.
I think likely, and I think Justice Hill. Those are the two guys. Because those two, in yak yards, I think it's Zay is one, and Hill is two, and Likely's three. So I think those are the two guys that you use.
Yeah, you got Lamar running a little bit this game or a lot?
Because they play man coverage. Anybody that's playing man coverage, I'm going to have Lamar run. And when they run their zone read stuff, if the ends are going down on Henry, Lamar's going to be carrying it a lot.
Yeah, I like to see Lamar get into the play action, man, and keep it a little bit and try to take some deep shots downfield. They can't hold us, man. We got them this weekend. I want to give a rest in peace to my nephew, Eric, man. It was a big Ravens fan. He just passed away recently, and, we got to move on without him. But I know he watching from up above. Go Ravens, and the best of luck to you guys. Let's get it.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Sad to hear that about your nephew, too.
Bob, would you say Eric Metcalf maybe is a better one comparison to Zay?
He's more of a running back.
Yeah, but I was just trying to think of a smaller guy that had great yak and
Marquise Brown?
No.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Stay tuned. We'll get you on the phones. But clock integrity is huge. And when we come back, we're going to count that late week money. Little buy or sell on the many sports subjects of this Total Request Thursday. Trey Wingo, DraftKings. Preview the playoffs with him. And then back to you. NFL Lunch, Mike Sando from The Athletic. He'll be joining us. By the way, Joe Burrow named as the AFC Offensive Player.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For the month.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. It's playoff Thursday. Ravens hosting the Steelers coming up Saturday night. M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens big favorites, 9.5 points. We will be at Brew Brothers Horseshoe Casino starting at 5 for the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Rice, Mirtha, Pesaurus. Tons going on outside of the NFL in the world of sports. But usually we count the dough around this time with buy or sell, but not happening today.
Yeah, the market's closed. Jimmy Carter is who they're honoring today, so the market is closed.
Yeah, their funeral for the president and Jimmy Carter. Nice long life, 100 years old.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Carter, rest in peace. But I'm sure we'll be counting that dough tomorrow.
All right, as far as our sports topics, a little NBA to kick us off here. Bradley Beal, these trade rumors starting to grow a little bit, but one important piece of his contract is going to have to come into play first. He's one of only two players in the NBA right now with a full no-trade clause in their contract. It's him and LeBron James, that's it. And according to Beal's agent, he has no intentions of trying to get out of Phoenix right now, so you're thinking, well, what's the point here? What are the rumors all about? Why would he want to stay? That's my question. Him joining forces with Booker and Durant on the Suns did not produce any notable playoff success. Maybe he just likes it there. I don't know. But Bob, are you buying or selling that Beal will not waive his no trade clause for any team this year?
I'm selling it. I mean, they benched him. He came off the bench the last couple of games, did well in the first one. And Phoenix isn't exactly as hot as the sun right now on the court. They've had some injuries. Nurk alert. He got benched too. Plumlee's starting for them in the paint. If the right deal comes along, and there the whispers were earlier, or a couple of days ago, that there's going to be a third team involved to get Jimmy buckets from Miami to Phoenix. They'd have to clear up some dough. That would be Beal. I think he'll waive for the right deal. And yeah, I will go ahead and sell that he will not waive it.
Over in the NFL, the coaching cycle is heating up yet again. A lot of jobs becoming vacant this week. It's a good time to go back and look at some of the coaching changes from a year ago and see how they fared with their new teams. Cody Benjamin has graded every new coaching hire from the 2024 season. No surprises here. Dan Quinn and Jim Harbaugh received the highest marks for getting their teams to the playoffs. The interesting one for me was Dave Canales with the Panthers. Benjamin handed him a C+. Despite coaching to a 5-12 record, the reasoning, what they appeared to unlock in Bryce Young down the stretch. Vinny, are you buying or selling that grade of a C+ for Canales?
Yeah, because it's all about the quarterback. Because if you got that, and he looked good down the stretch. I thought he played well, especially, you know, and they won some games, and they, you know, all he had was Thielen. That was it, receiver-wise.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, factor in the pieces around him.
Yeah, they had, and their O-line stunk.
All right, a little baseball here. Michael Lorenzen, a pitcher name that was out there in free agency, was actually traded from the Rangers to the Royals this past season and is now returning to Kansas City on a new one-year deal worth $7 million. All in all, pretty solid season for him last year between both teams. But his short sample size in Kansas City was outstanding. An ERA below 2 in 28 innings pitched. They got a very young rotation over there. The Orioles got to look at that firsthand in the playoffs with Reagans and Lugo. But they'll hope to get Lorenzen maybe more towards the middle of that rotation or the back end, some stability. Buy or sell, Bob, Lorenzen will be able to replicate his short-term success with the Royals over the span of a full season.
I'll soft buy it. He'll be effective, and he'll be an asset to that rotation. They're going to need to figure out a way to score runs, add a little juice to that offense. But their pitching is very, very strong. Now, does Lugo do, that's the one. Lugo going to duplicate what he did last year when he was an all-star. And Reagans is a tough out, as the Orioles found out in the wild card round. But, yeah, I think Lorenzen will be an asset to the team because that division, what, had three playoff teams last year? That division? Everybody kisses the American League East ass. But that could be up for grabs because Cleveland always seems like they're trying to not win. But you know, you look at the end of September, there they are, top of the standing.
Some more coaching news in the NFL. Anthony Weaver has received multiple interview requests from teams like the Saints, the Bears, for their new or their vacant head coaching jobs. Comes just a year after he jumped ship from Baltimore's staff to become Miami's defensive coordinator, helped boost them to become a top 10 unit this past season. But he's been receiving high praise for quite a while now. I mean, John Harbaugh spoke glowingly about him any chance he got. When he used to be on the staff. Still pretty young by coaching standards, too. Only 44 years old. Buy or sell, Vinny, this will be the year Weaver finally gets his head coaching job.
I'll sell it. I think he did a good job being coordinator, you know, and, you know, Harbs praised him so much that he didn't even give him the job, you know.
Right.
But I think Anthony Weaver's a heck of a guy. But I just don't think that he's going to get the head coaching job yet.
And we'll close up shop here in the NBA, just like we started, with Zion Williamson. Made his return to the court on Tuesday night after he had missed 2 months with a hamstring injury, scored 22 points, even had a crazy 360 dunk along the way. And then what happened? A day later, he's out of the lineup again. Hamstring injury, or at least that's what they listed it as. Now, as encouraging as that 22-point performance may be, the Pelicans have cratered early this season without Zion and some other key pieces. A lot of injuries over there. Climbing out of that deficit, highly unlikely. Getting back to the play-in, highly unlikely again. But it's long been rumored that New Orleans would consider trading Zion Williamson just because of the ongoing injury issues. They don't view him as the long-term piece. As we know, that deadline is coming up here soon on February 6th. Buy or sell, Bob, Zion will not stay healthy enough or productive enough between now and then to make himself actually tradable.
I'll soft buy that too, because he's a fancy name. The potential is there. Conditioning's been a problem. Health has been a major problem since he came out of Duke, when all the sheep were kissing their ass for getting to the, what was it, Elite Eight? 7-loss team, most overrated team of the last 20 years. He's not even... McCallum's the best player on the team, maybe. Brandon Ingram, when he's healthy. They got DeJounte Murray in the offseason. They're Wizards bad. What, 8-30? I don't have the record in front of me. I think they're like
single digit.
Yeah, Wizards bad. So if he's healthy and tradable, I think they'd be willing to move on from him. And what kind of a stupid name is Pelicans, by the way?
I mean, they're native down there, I guess.
Well, it was the New Orleans Jazz. Then they moved to Utah, which has nothing to do with Utah, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I mean, is Salt Lake City big for the jazz scene?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? But it is what it is. Zion Williamson, this guy was the number one pick of the draft. And, you know, if you look at it in totality, maybe one of the more disappointing number one picks of the last few years. Not that he can't play, because he plays well when he does, but he barely plays. Right. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Trey Wingo from DraftKings will preview the wild card round of the NFL playoffs with him. Two big favorites, Baltimore and Buffalo. Are they on a collision course with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson meeting in the divisional round in Buffalo? Where's the possible upset and beyond? We'll talk to Trey about that next here on The Fan.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
So a request Thursday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Coming out, little Thin Lizzy. Boys are back in town. Steelers are back in town Saturday. Third time Ravens and Pittsburgh get it on. This one's for a berth in the divisional round of the postseason. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass here to talk about that and the other games coming up. Couple of home dogs and some big favorites, including Baltimore, from DraftKings. So on the Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome back to the show Trey Wingo. Trey, thanks for joining us here in Baltimore. Happy belated Happy New Year and all that good stuff to you and the family.
Bob, Vinny, same to you. Always good to be on with you guys. How are you guys?
Doing all right, Trey. And we'll start with the MVP of the league. I'm sure you've been asked this 5 bazillion times. We've talked about it 5,000 times. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. It's a regular season award, which is now completed. They might see each other next weekend, depending on the results of this one. But who is Trey Wingo's 2024 most valuable player?
Well, some are going to say this is a total cop-out, but I think I wanted to split it because I think that they both earned it. They both deserved it. Look, you could make the argument that Joe Burrow had a better season than any of them, but we all know how this goes. If they don't make the playoffs, I don't think Burrow is going to win the award. But, you know, Steve McNair and Peyton Manning split the award in 2003 or 2004. And that was the first of Peyton's five. And I think this is a scenario where you could say, hey, you know, right down the middle. And I don't understand, like, even on DraftKings right now, Josh Allen is the favorite. And, you know, I get it, but I don't think his season is any better than what Lamar is doing. So I would really like to see it split.
All right. Now, the games coming up this weekend, Baltimore and Buffalo are big favorites. If there's a possible upset, Steelers 9.5, Buffalo, what, 8.5, I think, right now, Trey. Where's the most likely upset coming from in those two games?
Well, listen, I would have to say it would be in the Steelers game because familiarity breeds contempt. And the other thing, look, Bo Nix and that defensive play, great. But as we all know, the record with rookie quarterbacks in the postseason, and Vinny knows this as well as anybody, as well as Bo's played, it's a different dynamic. It's a different situation. And you're always unsure how that young player is going to step up in that situation. So I feel a little more confident in the Bills' ability to get the job done. It doesn't mean I'm taking anything away from the Ravens, but you know these guys know each other so well, and first of all, it's hard for me to believe that the Steelers committed to having lost four straight. I mean, they've completely fallen apart. So there is no momentum there. But I would just say, just on the familiarity thing and having a team that has T.J. Watt and has some of these other things, I might lean that way, but I don't expect either one of these favorites to lose.
Hey, Trey, who's a bigger surprise being in the playoffs, the Chargers or Washington?
You know, I went out, Vinny, we always try and do this thing every year, right? It didn't happen this year, the worst to first thing, right? I think almost every season we've had the team go worst to first, and someone asked me who would be your worst to first pick this year, and I picked the Commanders because I really love Dan, and I love the things he did in Dallas and the players he brought over on defense. And I saw Jaden when he played for my friend Herm Edwards at Arizona State, and Herm just raved about this guy's poise. So I would say in that situation, I know it sounds crazy because they have Justin Herbert, but they lost Keenan Allen, they lost Austin Eckler. I'm really impressed with the way Jim has got that Chargers team back in the postseason. So I was a little more surprised with that one because I wasn't sure how much there was left for Justin to work with. But, you know, Quentin Johnson's had some big drops this year, and they had the injury to J.K. Dobbins. So I think I'd be more surprised. I was more surprised if the Chargers made it, Benny.
Now, Trey, what about Sam Darnold and the Vikings? I mean, 2 weeks ago, the players were carrying him on their shoulders, pouring whatever on him in the locker room and everything. And then after this week, after the Detroit game, then you're like, whoa, is that the old Sam Darnold coming back? Who do you think shows up in the playoffs for Minnesota at the Rams Monday night?
Bob, you just nailed it. Nothing is more a description of how week to week this league is, right? What do they say in baseball? Momentum is as good as your next day starting pitcher. And I think that's the way it is in the NFL. Okay, what are we going to see from Sam? And Sam's had an unbelievable season. I do feel like there was just a confluence of events that really were against Minnesota in that game. You know, the Lions went on the road in that Monday night game and took care of business when they really had nothing to play for. And they're at home. Since the NFL went to seeding in the postseason in 1975, the Lions were, I think, one of five teams that had never had the number one seed. They got one of their best defensive players, linebacker Alex Anzalone, back for that one. I thought that was just – now, Sam didn't play well. I want to be clear. Sam had a couple of really, really bad possessions in the red zone and threw some balls high. But I just felt like they were kind of walking into a buzzsaw. And I don't want to take too much away from that because Vinny knows this as well as anyone. When you have that emotion, that fever pitch, and you have a team that's on the cusp of doing something they've never done before – it was going to be a tough spot for them one way or the other. So I expect Sam to play better. But I'll tell you, the Rams, they scare me a little bit as sort of an outlier in the NFC side of this thing. You have a guy in Stafford who's in year 16, and he's playing maybe better than he's ever played. And when you have Puka doing the things he does, and they have so many rookies, you know, first playing so well on defense. The Rams are a team that I would be really, really worried about.
Hey, Trey, a team that I don't count out, and the Chiefs. Now, Trey, I mean, they didn't play good all season, but the last game of the season, they were awesome. You know, and they got Hollywood Brack and, you know, Pacheco. They've got their guys back, and they have a good defense. I think Kansas City is going to be tough to deal with throughout.
Benny, I am going to be the last one out on Kansas City of all time, okay? Like, I feel like the entire Chiefs season was like, can we just get here? Can we just get to where they are, right? And you mentioned their guys. What other team, and I really, Benny, I want to ask you this as a guy who's been in this league forever and has put teams together. What other team in the NFL could lose their top two wide receivers and their number one running back for a majority of the season and basically have one loss in games they were trying to win? It's just, yeah. I don't know if there's another team that could do that. When the Rams struggled earlier, like, oh, well, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp aren't there. So, of course, they're struggling. And people were always like, you know, Mahomes didn't have Rashee Rice, didn't have Pacheco, didn't have Hollywood Brown. People were like, what's wrong with the Chiefs? Well, no, it's the same thing. Yet they're still finding ways to win. I think the entire Chiefs season has been about, can we just get here? They know what they're playing for. Yeah. And just to put it in perspective about what we're seeing with this team. With Mahomes under center, the Chiefs are 15-3 in the postseason. One more win, and he'll have the same number of wins as Joe Montana had in his entire career in the postseason. And then the only person ahead of him is Brady. I think we're looking at a team, unfortunately, for a lot of teams in the AFC, that is on this historic pace. And I don't know, man. Like, they're built for this. They were never the best team last year at all, until they were in the postseason. And they played better this year for the most part, and they have exactly what they want. And there's no way they're not making it to at least the conference championship. And I would be shocked if they're not representing the AFC again in the Super Bowl.
Trey Wingo, DraftKings, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Trey, last thing for you. Got a bunch of rematches, obviously, in the wild card round. Washington at Tampa, Philly, Green Bay. Both games were season openers for all four. If a team's going to get revenge from the season opening loss, the most likely to do so, I know you said the Redskins weren't your more surprising playoff presence, but rejuvenated Baker Mayfield, banged up Philly at quarterback, maybe, and same with Green Bay. Who gets revenge, either Washington or Green Bay, if either one does?
Well, I'm not sure either one does because, I look, if Jalen is playing, the Eagles are just such a dominant team start to finish. And if he can't play, obviously that changes everything, right? That changes the dynamic. But I just love this Bucs team. Baker Mayfield on his fourth team, they were 4-6, guys, and he lost Godwin and Mike Evans. And they turned it around. They got it done. And I have so much respect for Baker, from being the number one overall pick to bouncing around. Remember when he was in Carolina, they had him on the scout team playing defensive end reps. I mean, and here he is doing what he's done now. And it's just amazing. So, listen, again, rookie quarterbacks, we'll see how it goes. If Hurts is healthy, I think nothing is stopping the Eagles in that game. And I just think Baker is – He's such a resilient little MF-er. I just love him, and he's so much fun. And I think the Bucs are going to be able to take care of business again.
Trey, what's happening at DraftKings today?
Oh, we're so excited about it, guys. We did the pregame power up show all season long on Monday and Thursday nights, and we'll be there doing the preview show every single round of the playoffs. We have one at 11 o'clock on Sunday. 11-12 on DraftKings Network, then again for the Monday night wildcard game, and throughout the entire postseason to the divisional round and the conference round, conference championship Sunday. And we'll be in New Orleans all week long doing shows Tuesday through Sunday on DraftKings Network. We're really looking forward to it.
Trey Wingo, DraftKings. Trey, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy wildcard weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Trey.
You got it, Bob. Vinny, always good to talk to you, man. Take care, buddy.
Yep.
There's Trey Wingo, everybody. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. NFL lunch, Mike Sando, The Athletic. Preview the playoffs with him. We'll do our picks for tonight's game and look ahead at the schedule for the NFL playoffs. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Talk playoffs with him. And also talk about your daily fantasy chances. For instance, like daily fantasy, you have to pick one quarterback. You're going to take Lamar? You taking Josh Allen? You're going to take Jalen Hurts? That's a tough gig, man. What will Mike Harmon do? Find out at 1:30. NFL lunch style. We'll do our picks for tonight's playoff game. Mike Harmon, do daily fantasy things with him as the regular season in fantasy football is over. People have won championships. Congratulations if you won. But we'll try to win some little postseason money with Mike and get his opinion of what happens tonight. Notre Dame Pitt and then Notre Dame Penn State. And then Texas and Ohio State. And if there's a blowout, it would probably be Ohio State over Texas, but you never know. But let's get out to the phones, hear what the people have to say. 410-583-1057 takes us to Rosedale. It's Tony. Tony, thanks for holding. What is up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm looking forward to this college game I want to comment on before I get to the Ravens. Before the Florida schools took over in the 90s and the SEC the last couple of decades, this was the football that I knew, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State. I remember getting ready for church, 8, 9, 10 years old, three things I look forward to watching in the morning. Mm-hmm. Three Stooges, Blondie.
This call will be recorded.
And Notre Dame football highlights.
Was that Blondie right there? Where's Dagwood at?
You remember Vegas Ferguson. I remember watching him run all over people or whatever. But I want to comment on this Ravens game real quick. Now, the Ravens are far more talented than Pittsburgh, but I want to bring up a trend that before this Cleveland game we had broken, and that's the amount of penalties we had. Now, Cleveland was bad enough where we can go out there and still have 10 penalties for 83 yards and win. But in the playoffs, you cannot have a catastrophic episode like Darren Stone. You remember that, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Championship
game.
Yeah, I know.
We were getting ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Flacco's rookie year, yeah.
And Zeus, Big Zeus, the penalty against the Titans in the playoffs. We get ready to go down and tie the game up. They retaliating. He get a 15-yard penalty and pushes back. The Ravens cannot lose their cool and commit these penalties. And when it comes to Brandon Stevens, this is what I mean. We play good for two downs and have them third and 13, and we stop them. We cannot afford to have someone illegal contact, kill momentum, let them keep the ball, can't have old way fall on a quarterback. We just got to be very careful of the penalties in this game because Pittsburgh will try to bait us in because they know we're so far more talented than they are. So we just got to watch it with the penalties. And if we just go out here and play football, I don't think we'll have a problem.
All right, Tony. See you on Saturday, I'm sure.
Yep.
You got it. Tony and Rosedale, everybody. And look, he mentioned those Notre Dame replays, and I referenced it earlier in the show. For us city dwellers in Baltimore, it was on Channel 4 in Washington, so you had to get it fuzzy, you know, because there was no cable
right
in Baltimore. And football was Lindsey Nelson and Paul Hornung,
mm-hmm.
and basketball was Harry Callis and Tom Hawkins. And they were always fun to watch at 9 o'clock. That would lead you into, like, NFL Today and all of this good stuff. But that being said, you know, Ravens, Steelers, penalties, we brought it up. You know, double digits have hit there a couple of times, but they had tightened it up for the most part. Well, first game out of the bye, they had 12 against the Giants and kind of reared its ugly head. And correct me if I'm wrong, Vinny, most of the penalties this year have been on the defensive side of things.
Lately.
Yeah.
But prior to that, it was the offense. I mean, Bob, in that first game, I mean, the second play, Henry fumbles, but on the next series, they go first and 10, second and 9, penalty, Ronnie Stanley, offensive holding. Second and 19, third and 10, punt. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it was. So, yeah, the offensive linemen, they got to keep their hands in tight because this referee group,
Kemp, yeah.
They like to call holding penalties.
59 offensive holding calls, which is tied for the most. Let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Bob, Benny, good day, gentlemen.
Yep.
Appreciation of your show daily and always in recognition of who I'm talking to and the knowledge breakdowns from both you gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Remaining college matchups, common denominator, all four teams they hit. They're going to block and tackle whistle to whistle. And historically, that's the reason why I've always been a Notre Dame football fan. Coaches, Eric Parsigian and Lou Holtz. And like you guys have mentioned, Sunday mornings, that's when I first saw Joe Montana with the comeback victories on the Sunday morning reruns.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm sure of tonight, Penn State's offense is predicated to get number 44, tight end Tyler Warren, as many touches as possible. On defense, their guy is number 11 in likeness of Micah Parson. And like you said, Vinny, he's healed up. He's ready to go.
It says game time decision is what it said today, what I just read.
Okay. They float him around just like Parsons. I don't know how the game plays out, but do know Notre Dame will never be out hit. And it all goes back to traditional fighting spirit. The isolation drills that we saw in the movie Rudy, of which we tried to emulate in our abuse with our teams. The acronym WIN, the sign, play like a champion today. Touchdown Jesus. Shake down the thunder. The mystique of the Golden Dome helmets. The leprechaun. Notre Dame, currently, they're not much in the passing game. They're going to try to get the ball to number 6 underneath Jordan Faison to move chains. But there will be a heavy dose of buckled up tight running game. And I really like 3 of their secondary safety men. Number 0. Xavier Watts,
yeah, he's number a stud.
Number 8, Aiden Schuler, and number 1, Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark. And take notice on the pre-snap communication. It's the same thing you see from Kyle Hamilton. They're in verbal communication every time. And last thing, did make a bucket list to South Bend once, basketball tournament, and I was that close from the Indiana line, so I made sure I got to South Bend to see the field surroundings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. And scooped up some football field dirt, still have it.
And now it's turf. Now it's turf, Ed.
Yeah, right. And anyway, that was a good trip. And guys, enjoy the game, and that's it.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. Obviously, favoring Notre Dame tonight against Penn State.
You know, Ed, just if you're still listening, the WIN, what's important now, that was Lou Holtz. And, you know, Lou's the one that did the play like a champion. He's the one that made, you know, developed that and, you know, and started that and everything. And then all the money and everything, he gave it to Notre Dame.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch. Mike Sando from The Athletic is going to be joining us. Preview the playoffs with him. We'll get into our picks for tonight's game as Vinny wins the money, the booze, the wine, of course, during the regular season. Now we got our second season coming up, trying to pull the upset here. Mike Harmon, talk real and fantasy football with him. Fun house trip and everything that goes along with it. It's Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up next hour. Ravens, 9.5-point favorites. No Zay Flowers at practice today means no Zay Flowers on Saturday.